Oh, wow, what a sight. I can die a happy man now. I've never seen anything more perfect.
Are you referring to my derriere, Mr. Coles?
Of course not, Mrs. Doyle. I would never be such a vulgar man as to compliment your derriere in public. I was actually looking at the bouquet. But if I may pass a compliment on, then it could be said you have a very nice derriere.
Get on with you, Mr. Coles. Behave or else I shall give you cold broth again.
All right. I know when to wind me tongue in. My young Emily, you're in a mischievous mood today.
Much like most days. I believe someone is smitten from that young master is home again after his travel. Trouble is, Mr. Coles, some in the room have ideas above their station and must realise they may never be more than a plaything or will never be able to rise above the social circle they currently encumber.
Everyone needs dreams, Mrs. Doyle. Emily, my dear, keep dreaming. It's the only way to achieve anything in this world. Right, I must go and get my last few jobs done. Then I feel a little nap in the potting shed before the evening's jollies. Oh, it's going to be so nice to be involved in a fun evening at the manor. To be part of high society. Been far too long. It's times like these when you get a sense of where you really belong.
He fancies you.
Don't talk daft, girl.
I'm not. I have sixth sense for these things. I can tell. He's all fired up with passion for you. You should go for Miss Doyle.
You, my girl, are pushing our friendship to the limits. However, I may be a widower, but it is too close to my husband's death for me to go looking around for a new one.
It was 3 years ago, wasn't it, that your husband died?
And still as fresh as if it were yesterday. Now, can we change the subject and get on with laying the table?
I'd heard it was the curse of the manor house which did it.
My dear girl, you are of a silly head. The curse is just an old wives' tale, set up 100 years ago to stop people from trying to oust the Worthington Jones when they first came. My late husband did not die because of that. There was a heart attack out on the moors when he lost his way.
Didn't they pile a pile of bones next to him?
Coincidence! Now for the last time, get on with the table setting.
Estelle, Emily, what a lovely job you're doing. It looks marvellous.
Yes, absolutely, first class. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Darling, if you may excuse me for a moment, I must go and collect something from the Red Room.
So, Cuthbert, my old fellow, have you thought any more of my investment opportunity? I mean, now that your little titlehood has given you more wealth and power than what you already had, surely you can afford a little help for a friend.
Peter, as attractive as your proposition may be, I perhaps feel it may be a tad too risky for me.
How does Lady Veronica feel about it?
She knows not of it.
Why ever not?
Because Lady Veronica's mind is not big enough to comprehend the notion. All she can think about is how to sew, moan, and lay with her husband. But if I'm totally honest, two of those she does extremely well, and the latter is nigh on non-existent. No matter how much I try, she is frozen to me.
My dear fellow, I did not realise that you were suffering marital difficulties. Perhaps, if the main course is a little stale or cold, there may be a little side dish is in order, purely to keep your mind fulfilled.
The side dish is already bubbling along nicely. Sadly, though, that bubble may turn into two. I had not planned for that, and as such it could cause great pains for me financially. I have tried to make the bubble pop, but to no avail. I am left in a pickle. Hence why what little extra capital I have gained may not be mine to play with.
I see. But a small investment to my proposition will help solve all your worries. More money will be made for a small input.
A small input? You would know all about that, dearest.
My lady?
Come now. I may only be a lady with a feeble brain, but I recall small venture you helped to become the largest there is around. Sweet Love Grain at the mill in Bures.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
Therefore, I am sure that Mr. Reichenbach has your best interests in heart, much like the Sweet Loves did.
Well said, Lady Veronica.
Ding dong.
Sorry to interrupt, my lord, but your two guests arrived very late last night and have only just suffered. I fed them, and now I leave them into your hands.
I say, Sherlock Holmes, it is indeed an honour to meet the great man himself.
And likewise I. This is my good friend and companion, Dr. Watson. Now, I apologise for our lateness and arrival to your beautiful home.
Yes, we suffered the most terrible luck. Our horse threw a shoe and developed a limp, which rendered our carriage from Colchester useless. We had to walk the remaining 10 miles and navigate the moors.
The curse!
Poppycock! The curse is an old wife's tale.
You tell that to old Mr. Doyle.
Please ignore him, gentlemen. Do take a seat. Can I get Wooster to fetch you a glass of something?
No. That's most kind of you. Look, we are plenty refreshed as of the moment.
As you wish, gentlemen. Oh, I do apologise. Please allow me to introduce you to my very good friend from university, Mr. Reichenbach, Mr. Peter Reichenbach. He is staying with us for a few days to help celebrate. Been a long time since we spent any time with one another.
Pleasure to meet you.
And to meet you, Doctor. Very nice to make your... I say, have we met before?
You look vaguely familiar.
I don't believe we've had the pleasure.
How strange. You must have one of those faces. Have you ever been to London?
Once or twice. On investment opportunities. But not to stay. The hustle and bustle of the streets is too much for me to bear. I prefer quieter retreats. Allows me the chance to study and become better at what I do.
And what is it that you do?
Come now, Holmes. We are here to solve a case, not interrogate the friend of the man who has hired us.
You are most correct, Watson. Old habits die hard.
They most certainly do.
Once a detective, always a detective, I guess.
Sir Cuthbert, I do believe your telegram mentioned 7 small wooden figurines. Could you perhaps enlighten me on this matter, please?
Most certainly. If you care to look over on the mantelpiece, that is where they were placed after I found them on each Sunday morning. 1 a week for 7 weeks. Each one had been made of a hard wood, light in colour. That is all bar the one on the 7th week. That was dark in colour. Then on the 8th week, I awoke expecting to see an 8th one. However, to my amazement, I found there wasn't a small wooden figurine awaiting me. After breakfast, I headed to my study to smoke a pipe and read the paper quietly, and that's when I discovered the 7th figurine had been sawn in half.
Sawn in half, not snapped.
Most definitely sawn. It was a neat cut line right across the shoulders, severing the head from the body.
How extraordinary!
Not quite, Watson, but still a tad bemusing. I believe that whomever sent you the figurines was also the one who did the cutting. They could be sending you a message, a threat against your life.
My thoughts exactly, Mr. Holmes.
But why? That is what puzzles me. Why you, and why now? You were right to contact myself and Watson. We shall get to the bottom of this.
I am so glad that you don't feel that this is a waste of your time. There is an old wives' tale about a curse upon the manor, and in my panic, I half believe that it may be coming true.
What is the curse?
Oh, you're not boring people with that silly talk of curses, are you, Pater? The curse is an old wives' tale. Hundred years ago or more, legend states that in the high window of the old tower room, which is in the north side of the manor house, a light would be lit on the mistly nights to aid passers-by crossing the Suffolk moors. They used the light as the guide through there, through the moors. However, one night, when my great-great-great-grandfather or something lived here, his wife had gone mad and lit the portable light and ventured out onto the moors. She lured people off the path by pretending to be the light of the North Tower. Once she had them where she was, she would extinguish the light, and sadly a few people were killed by her hand or by falling in the moors. They found their bodies in the morning next to a pile of bones and found her dress next to the lamp. But her body was never recovered. As such, the lamp is never lit now.
People have said to have seen a ghostly figure walking through the moors carrying a limp lamp. If you see it,
then chances are you will be killed by her hand.
Why is it never lit?
They boarded up the door to the tower, and my great-great-great-grandfather had a separate road built around the moors to keep everybody safe. A lantern man goes out in the misty nights to light the lamp. The lamps to guide people by the road, much safer and quicker.
But there have been sightings of a lit lamp. The night before last, I believe.
Knock, knock.
Oh my goodness, is that the time? Wooster, you had better go and answer the door to our guests. They've arrived early. Show them to their rooms and I will be along shortly. If you will excuse me, gentlemen.
Certainly, Sir Cuthbert. If you don't mind, I'd quite like to examine the figurines to see if I can gain any clues.
By all means. Clive, you had best run along and find your mother. Inform her guests are arriving, and she is to meet me in the library to greet them.
Yes, Pater.
One shall go freshen up and rendezvous with you in the library.
Look at this, Watson. Incredible craftsmanship, don't you think?
Exquisite, Holmes. But why waste all that time to create them and cut one of them up?
A warning. Definitely a warning of some sort. Now let me see. Sunday. What's a Sunday got to do with anything?
Day of rest.
And on the seventh day he rested. Could well be. This seventh one is mahogany, if I'm not mistaken. Excellent for carving with. Indigenous to South America, Central America, and Africa.
Those other six figurines look like they have been made from oak, I believe. It has a prominent grain and a coarse texture, easily accessible.
Unlike the mahogany. So the statement is a bold one. Come, Watson, I believe the game is most definitely afoot. We have more digging to do.